There's a movie that came out in 2016, the story of the resurrection told through the eyes of a Roman military tribune called Risen. Have you seen it? I'll be watching that for the third time with the confirmation kids, with DC coming up shortly. But the body of Jesus is missing. You know, did the disciples steal it? Did someone else steal it? Did he rise from the dead? You know, the tribune doesn't know. He's leading the investigation. He's following the clues. He's interrogating those who believe. And it's all very creatively done and all bearing witness to Christ. Clavius is his name. He hears the testimonies and he's confronted with the claims of Christ. And you'll have to see the movie to find out what happens at the end. But the topic of authority shows up in this movie because he's a tribune, so he's the head of all the centurions. So, you know, thousands of men under his authority. And we have that issue in our text today. Those coming under authority. And whose authority do we come under? You know? The centurion, he has a need. There's need for healing. And faith is found in an unexpected way. So as in the movie Risen, in our text today, a Roman soldier that's in need. And I forgot to say this, on Palm Sunday we're going to watch it. And maybe anyone who would like to come that Sunday night, probably 4:30 to 7, it's a two-hour movie, so come and join us and watch Risen, or check it out on your own. Well, in our text today, there is a miracle. You know, the slave is healed, although there's not much in the text about the slave at all, a few things mentioned. Is that the only miracle? Maybe not. There might be other miracles that happen in this story. So we're going to check that out. Where does it all take place? Well, it says in Luke 7:1, after Jesus finished that's his Sermon on the Plain or Sermon on the Mount, he came to Capernaum. Hey, here we are back in Capernaum. Within the last week, we've been there a few times. We met Jesus at the home of Peter's home at the end of Luke 4. You know, what has happened there in the past is going to happen again. Capernaum is a hot spot for healing. Well, actually, wherever Jesus is, wherever his presence is through his people, there's healing. But Capernaum was the place. Remember the man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, Peter's mother-in-law with a high fever. That night, friends and family brought those who needed healing, those who had unclean spirits, they brought them to Peter's home, to his front door, and there was healing that happened. And after that, you'd think Jesus would go to bed. But no, he went up onto a mountain. He prayed all night. And what was he praying about? Who is going to be part of this ministry? Who will take my healing, my presence, my message to the villages, to the towns? Who will it be? Who will I name as apostles? And then he named his 12 apostles after that. Miracles can happen through our friendships, through our partnerships, our collaborations. Healing does happen and will happen. It may not always be exactly as we want, but healings happen through our friendships and partnerships. Let's look at three examples from the text. Well, the first miracle we're going to look at is the unexpected faith of the centurion. He's a Roman oppressor. He's the enemy, right? Jesus is amazed. How did it come about? Well, the Jewish elders vouched for him. He was doing good deeds. Jesus, he is worthy of you to go and answer this prayer request. He helped build the synagogue in Capernaum. He has a love for Israel. He loves our people. Also, the centurion himself had high regard for the slave. A slave, a servant, is property. You know, he didn't have to treat him in a kind way at all, and that's sad to say that. But they saw his love. They saw his his good works. So the centurion sends Jewish elders to Jesus. Was it a command? You better go to Jesus for me. Or was it a request? Hey, I need help. I need help. Go to Jesus for my slave. To heal him, to save his life is the literal translation there. Well, probably the centurion had heard about Jesus, knew what he could do. As Jesus is coming, you know, he says, okay, I'll go with you. And as he's coming, the centurion sends friends to say this to Jesus. No, you know, Lord, do not trouble yourself. I'm not worthy for you to come to my home. That is why I felt unworthy to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And this is where the issue of authority comes in, and what Peg read. The centurion understood authority. The men under him would go, would come, whatever he said. Just go, go. The military is that way. Great training. He understands that there's another authority that is sovereign. He knows what Jesus is about, or partly is about. He is a healer. The healing comes from God. So he's asking, requesting the greatest authority to move, and that's God's. Just say the word. In verse 9, Jesus was amazed. Never have I found such great faith in Israel. The friends returned to the house and found the slave, the servant, healed. Jesus never said a word, though, did he? He didn't say, be healed. What's the word there? Such great faith. The great faith of an individual in God as healer. Maybe that's all it takes. This man had faith. God shows up in the most unexpected ways, touching the most unlikely people. He loves to surprise us, doesn't he? When you think about it, if he was an enemy at one time, certainly the Romans were, maybe God wants to do something in an enemy's life. Our enemy, somebody that we're out of sorts with. The Romans were occupiers, oppressors, the enemy. Pastor Ann's sermon last week, it showed up in the children's blessing. Thank you, Deb. Praying for our enemies. We got to pray for our enemies. Pray for forgiveness. You know, it may be for the most unlikely people in our life. We all know somebody. I'm not praying for them. God's word is telling us we need to. If we take it a step back, we would love to see great faith come from those who do good out there. They don't have faith, but they do good. Their heart is open to doing good. That's the soldier. That's something we need to be drawn to. That they would have an unexpected faith. Maybe these are the names we can write down on our blessed list, those that come to mind. An enemy? Someone who's doing good? I'll leave that to you. Only 3 to 5 names. That's all it's asked for. Because it's finding ways to bless them. And we'll go deeper into this because that's what's happening in this text. As we have someone that we're praying for, we want to bless them, care for them, listen to them, serve them, and then share with them. Joining the Holy Spirit, bringing our world to Christ. Well, there's unexpected faith. But the second example of healing is really the miracle of a caring community. You see all the individuals involved in what's going on. In Luke 7, it was the need of the slave. This non-person in that day and age. His need galvanizes a community to work on his behalf for healing. The elders, the centurion, his friends, Jews and Gentiles, political, military, religious powers, they collaborate to to seek the health of one who doesn't have a voice, one who's usually forgotten. This one is dying. He may never come out of seclusion. Yes, even those of privilege and power going all out on behalf of the disadvantaged. Different cultures, strata of society to work across typical boundaries for healing so that all flesh may see God, the salvation of God. Does God create caring community? Some of you are part of that already. A church is a place where some of the most unlikely people that would ever connect, may not connect out there in the world, just go to a youth group sometime. You know, that's the beauty, the caring community. A lot of those kids may not connect out in the world, their schools. Maybe they can't. It's not safe. But think about men's and women's... Men's and women ministry and Bible studies, prayer groups. God creates caring community. Martin Luther King said, "I cannot be what I ought to be until you," meaning the community, "are what you ought to be." And we have a lot of that good, caring, committee type stuff going on. The Alpha Teams coming together, that's one example. And maybe you want to be a part of that. A place where there is healing and teaching and caring and love and acceptance. Guests can pretty much say whatever they want. And we just listen and let the program work. Okay, it's this one. They said we're supposed to put that down. Now I'm not so sure. But Alpha begins the 21st. And if you're in a caring community, maybe there's a miracle ahead for you. We need to be reaching out, caring for those in our circles of influence, to bring them to our groups, befriending folks, inviting, blessing those God puts in our path. The miracle of a caring community. And let's keep celebrating that in our midst here. The last one is the most important. And I love this part of the passage. It just kind of jumped out at me. Miracles also happen through friendship. Spiritual friendship. Verses 6 and 7, the centurion sent his friends to Jesus. He sent the elders, but then his friends went to Jesus on his behalf. Who in your life needs a friend that can bring them to Jesus or pray for them, to cry out to God for them, to serve them, to help clean up messes, to walk with them through the mud of life, real life? There's people in our circles of influence just crying out for help. And we want to be part of that. Why didn't the centurion want Jesus to come? Partly because of his unworthiness. He did not feel like he deserved Jesus to come to his home. What is it about the reality of our day and age that we'd rather not have Jesus come to our home? It's very personal. That's our private area. That's our stuff. You know, symbolically, it says a lot. This is not humility. There was something, he felt unworthy. There's blood on the Roman's hands. There are folks that we know, maybe we've been there, maybe we've experienced that. I don't deserve Jesus. What I've seen, where I've been, what I'm doing now, I don't deserve Jesus. Well, they need a friend that says, well, God loves you no matter what. There's a book titled Sticky Faith by Kara Powell and Chap Clark. The one section has stories about college students who quit coming to church because they recognize their own sinfulness and feel unworthy. Well, that could be any number of people, not just college students, right? But we all know people who have said, we've heard it, I hear it all the time, oh, I could never come to church, God would strike me dead. The best response is to say, well, he hasn't stricken me dead yet, so what's with you? Or the walls may just collapse if I walk through there. Unworthiness. We need to be that friend who intercedes on behalf of our unbelieving friend, to bring them to the foot of the cross as God allows us to listen, to care for them, to pay attention to their dreams and their pain, to listen for evidence of God working in their life. Just coming to you or your connection with them, there's evidence of God working in their life. Maybe they are asking for help, wondering, would Jesus really come into my life? Would he really come to my home? Conviction is good, and when shown the love of God, his mercy and grace, shame and disgrace are overcome. So the time is now for us to invite and bring friends to church, to our groups, to Alpha. Yes, now is the time. Those who are seeking, those, you know, I think sometimes bringing a friend to church is harder than maybe bringing to like an Alpha dinner, because church, you know, all the things we do and the different churches do different things, you know, it's a little bit foreign. Hey, bring them to worship for sure, but bring them to your smaller groups. Bring them to your home. Join them for a meal. But Alpha is acceptance. You know, there's so much love. It's delicious meals. There's good teaching, non-threatening. And we watch God meet people in amazing ways, healing and forgiveness and deliverance. And by being part of that, team members experience the healing presence of God, and guests experience that. No, it's not, you know, 110% of what I want to be healed is healed, but God is able to do that. You know, we pray for healing, that he may heal some. Come yourself. You won't be disappointed. Come and be healed. Bring a friend. Miracles will happen through our friendships, our partnerships. We'll see people come to faith in unexpected ways. But we've got to do the work together. The real question behind all this passage that many people have is, did the centurion come to faith in Jesus? Well, yeah, didn't he? It doesn't say. We don't know. But he must have followed the news. You know, Capernaum, I don't know, is it 30, 40 miles or more from Jerusalem. He must have followed the news about Jesus, his followers, and his death on the cross. I love in Luke 23:47, the other Gospels have this too, a centurion at the cross, you know, standing guard to make sure that Jesus is truly dead. But as Jesus dies, he saw how he died, and he said, truly, this man was innocent. Was it him? I think in Luke's writing, he wants us to imagine that centurions and others came to faith in Christ because truly he was an innocent man. He was the Son of God. All we can do is help our friends come to the cross. Hear the good news, be confronted by the cross's mercy and grace and love and forgiveness, and watch God work and bring healing and deliverance and new life. Because we have great faith in God who heals. He is the one who can do all things. Amen.